Hey guys, thanks for joining me for episode 4 of the Solitary Heathen Witch podcast. On this episode, I want to cover deities a little bit and also go into heathenry and what it means to me to be a heathen. I'm going to start with definitions of some of the terms I will be using today before I dive into what they mean to me. Now, if you type heathen into your Google search bar, it's going to pop up with the dictionary definition. And it says that it is a derogatory noun, a person who does not belong to a widely held religion, especially one who is not a Christian, Jew, Muslim, as regarded by those who do. It is also used as an adjective relating to heathens, for example, the heathen gods, which are non-Christian gods. You'll also find that heathen is shown to be an uncivilized or irreligious person. So basically, people view this as an insult. I personally do not, as most of us pagans and heathens do not. We've kind of used this term to describe ourselves and our faith, rather than allowing it to be something derogatory towards us. So I try to dive a little bit deeper to find out exactly where does heathen come from. So this term goes way back to pre-Christianity. And if you look up heathen, you'll also find that it is a heath dweller. A dweller on the heath. One inhabiting uncultivated land. So then I was like, okay, what is heath? I just, you know, want to know what the definition term for it. And it tells me that it's an area of open, uncultivated land. So a heathen is somebody who lived off of the land, like our ancestors did. This doesn't sound like an insult to me. This is actually something I would love to do, is to live off the land and be self-sustainable. I'm going to just tell a quick story that happened to me recently. I work in a doctor's office, and I was standing around with some of my coworkers, and one of the providers walked by and called us a group of heathens. Now, he was joking, but he was meaning it as a group of uncivilized people. But in my head, I kind of, like, my first instinct was, like, how does he know? But then I realized that nobody around me understood what heathen meant. And that kind of, you know, that showed me a lot, like, on other people's opinions and how much they're not very educated about the pagan ways. I work with a bunch of Christians and Catholics, so everything is new to them about paganism. So they don't know too much. Because after that comment, I kind of looked around and everybody was just, you know, like, what? And I had asked, like, do you guys even know what that is? And no one really did. Everyone just kind of knew it to be, like, an insult type of thing. And that's definitely not how I took it. Another word I'm going to be getting into today is deities. Now, if you're new to this and you don't know what a deity is, it's a god or goddess. You will hear a lot of people talk about who their patron deity is, and that's basically the deity, the god, the goddess that they chose to honor, the one that they work with the most, the one they feel more connected to. So in paganism, you're going to find that there are a lot of gods and goddesses, and you can work with whoever you want to work with. You don't have to have a patron deity. Some people prefer it and choose to, by the one that they feel the most connected to, the one that they feel the most, so that is the one that they choose to honor. You're free to honor as many as you want, speak to whichever ones you want, just always be respectful. With your deities, there's so many different groups. You have, like, the Germanic area where you will find the Norse deities, Celtic. There's also Egyptian, Greek, Rome, and many, many more. So when I was on Instagram, I had asked you guys questions on which deities do you follow? Just out of curiosity, because there's just so many. And I'm going to go over just some of the ones that you guys had mentioned to me, because there's just such a huge list. So the ones that were mentioned, I'm going to get into those and tell you a little bit about them. And then I will also be going over the question on what does heathen mean to you? And go over the answers that I had gotten for that as well. And I've noticed that even though we are all so different, a lot of us have similar beliefs on what heathen means to us. Now, I'm going to have the ad play real quick, so that way when it's done, we can dive right in to heathenry, what it means to us, and also get into the deities, to talk about the gods and goddesses, and to tell some stories about some of them. What does heathen mean to me? I'm going to try to put it in the words the best that I can. So I believe in multiple gods. I believe other faiths are not wrong, they're just not for me. I believe in Mother Nature and honor and respect the land and their spirits. I try my best to take care of the land. The freedom to live how we want, to honor the gods of our choice, and to not be judged for it. I dream to live off the land. I definitely do not do well in the city. I use the term pagan and or heathen. Before we did not have labels. They were given to us by those who followed Christianity to describe us as the people who did not follow their beliefs. Because before it wasn't a label to us, it was just our way. So some do not see a difference between pagan and heathen, some do. Heathen is used more by those who follow the Norse gods. I messaged a handful of people on Instagram, what does heathen mean to you? And I'm going to be completely honest, I was terrified when I first did this. I battle with anxiety and depression, so I kind of went back and forth a lot. I was scared of responses that I would get, and I just didn't know what to expect. So I looked for accounts that were either one following me already, or who had the term heathen in their name or description, basically fellow pagans. And surprisingly, I got a lot of good responses. I'm going to share some of the feedback, and I did not get one short answer on any of these. I frequently got responses saying they would get back to me because they wanted to figure out how to put it into words. So this showed me that so much of you have such passion in your faith. All right, now I'm going to read the amazing responses I got from you guys when I asked, what does heathen mean to you? I had a couple people ask me if this is going to be credited or if it is going to be anonymous. So each person who gave me a response, I gave you the option. So I will be saying your Instagram name. I'll also be posting it in the description. So that way, if you're new to your journey and you're trying to find great pagans or heathens to connect with, you'll find their Instagram pages down below. And I'm also going to be placing the small business shoutouts here as well. I'm going to start with @planty_pagan. I mostly see the agreement that we all revere the earth and the universe as sacred. Some of us see deities within nature. Some simply see nature itself as sacred with no need to name it. Many of our varying heathen or pagan gods overlap and have similarities. We often feel a calling to identify with their human traits and find inspiration with their stories. Self-improvement, shadow work, magic working with the universe and not against it is also common. Ancestral stories and written books of traditions also tend to be highly respected. Not all are drawn to magic like spells, but many of us believe in divination, destiny, and a pleasant afterlife that is not to be feared. An anonymous response, their short answer. My heathenism is my view of the world and the way in which I respond and live within it. I honor the gods through ritual. I respect the Vatir by tending to my home, my garden, feeding the birds, and plan to volunteer to garbage cleanup. Meditation, walks, spending time with my family, making art, and scrapbooking keep me grounded. I have an altar for my ancestors and work to honor them with occasional offerings and the decisions I make daily. I also take my role as a stay-at-home mom pretty serious. It is my duty to my hearth, and look to the goddess Frigg most as I run my home and do magic work, much like she does in Asgard, especially when Odin is away. At red_raven_woman. Me being heathen is honoring your ancestors' path by walking it, honoring nature and all beings, learning, growing as we walk, also sharing to our children, passing on the knowledge. At the heathen's tale. To me, heathenry means following the old gods and the old ways. When I say old ways, I'm referring to the animism, nature worship, believing in land spirits, and other unseen beings that we might share this earth with. Living a heathen life means living a life of love and purpose. At Fenrir_Kipson, it means being free, having a close connection to nature and the gods. This connection allows you to see the world for what it truly is, beautiful, and this beauty allows you the freedom and opportunity to really feel, experience, and express yourself in any way imaginable. At least that it is what it is to me. Another anonymous is heathen. The term really applied to the country folk and their heathen gods. Dirty heathen means dirty hillbilly, essentially. I wear the banner with pride around my fellow heathens. At Addy_rock are okay. In my opinion, heathen is just another term to categorize for our beliefs and the old ways we follow. I think the more appropriate question would be, how do you heathen? That will give you a better answer. For me, I follow Odin's virtues. Honoring the hearth, friends, family, spirits, Vatir, ancestors, nature, animals, and the gods. At Midgard_saga, to me is more than just a religion. It's a deep appreciation for the elements, a connection to nature and our ancestors. It's learning about the past to better improve ourselves for the future. It's having a relationship with the gods and Yggdrasil. It is a constant journey of knowledge and self-improvement. Hail to the gods, Skull. At desert_pagan. Heathen means to me the freedom to become my truest self while worshiping spirits that are so much older than anything we can imagine, and trying to learn all that I can from them so that I may pass it on to future generations. I absolutely loved reading all of your guys' responses. We're all over the world, and it's so interesting to see how us pagans and heathens have very similar views. And I am so sorry if I mispronounced your Instagram name. This is also why I will be sharing them in the description, because I may have butchered some of them. When we get into deities, there's so many different groups. We have Aztec deities. There's the Celtic. I'm probably going to pronounce a lot of names incorrectly, so I apologize. But some examples are, we have Neith, the Irish god of war. Anu, Mother Earth, goddess of plenty. Epona, the horse goddess. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was younger growing up, I played a lot of Zelda. The Ocarina of Time was my favorite, and Epona was the horse that you got. We have the Egyptian gods, like Horus, Ra, the sun god, Isis and her husband Osiris, and Anubis, who's the god of the dead. Then we have our Germanic Norse gods, like Odin, Thor, Loki, Freya, Tyr, Heimdall, There's a lot to list, and especially for me, because these are the ones that I follow, I could keep going. So I'm just going to name a few. And then we have our Greek gods and goddesses like Zeus, Athena, Apollo, Poseidon, Aphrodite. And you hear a lot more about these because you will find that there's a lot more movies, and like you have Hercules or Clash of the Titans. There's a lot more where you hear more about these deities. And then you have like your Roman gods and goddesses. There's a lot. So I picked three gods that I'm going to talk about a little bit based off of some of the ones that you guys had answered that you followed. I'm not going to get too much into their stories because there is a lot of different stories and tales about each of these gods. So I'm just going to go a little bit into each one. Again, I'm apologizing for some of my pronunciations. Still learning. So, one of the most popular Norse gods would be Thor. He is an Asir god. He's known to be the god of the common folk. He's the protector of Midgard. He's the son of Odin, and his mother is Jord, the giantess, also Earth, basically Mother Nature. Thor is known to have his Mjolnir, which is his hammer, and it's an old Norse word for lightning. And with his Mjolnir, he never misses, and it returns right back to him. Thor is also known to have two goats, which at this moment I cannot remember their names, I'm sorry, but he kills them when he's hungry and needs to eat, and then he resurrects them back to life. A lot of people look to Thor when they need courage. Another Norse god we have is Tyr. He's also amongst the Asir. He's the god of war, justice, and self-sacrifice. He's known for doing what's right to benefit everybody. He's looked to victory in battle. And his rune is Tiwaz, which is for justice, victory in battle. And this was carved a lot in weapons. Now, Tyr's known for having his hand bitten off by the wolf Fenrir, which is one of Loki's children. And it is during the binding of Fenrir. Fenrir demanded that one of the gods were to place their hand in his mouth in good faith because he was suspicious of what was being placed on him. And when he realized that he could not break free, he bit off Tyr's hand. Thor and Tyr are common patron gods for a lot of Norse pagans. Some choose a lot of the other ones, but these two are very popular ones. And then we have our Egyptian god Anubis. He's the god of death, mummification, embalming, afterlife, tombs, and the underworld. He's represented by a canine jackal, sometimes seen with a human body and the jackal head. Or you'll see him as a full jackal. You'd find him a lot carved on walls for protection. So Anubis would weigh the heart against, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, but it's Maat, truth. It was an ostrich feather. So he had his scale, and the feather would go on one end, and the heart would go on the other end, and it would determine the fate of souls. So if your heart was heavier than the feather, you were devoured by Amit, I believe is pronounced. But if your heart was lighter, you would ascend to a heavenly existence. Now, I want to share with you guys a mistake I made in the beginning. So when I first started in my craft and I first got my altar set up, I was trying to go by everything I found online or in books on how to set up your altar. And in my head, I thought I had to pick a god and goddess right then and there. So when I was younger, when the first Mummy movie came out, I loved it. So I grew very fond of Egyptians and the Egyptian deities. And I used to read up about them, and I always loved Anubis. So what better god than to put him? So I put him on there and I'm like, okay, I need a goddess. So I was looking at the different goddesses and I found Bastet. Probably pronounced that wrong, but she is like the cat. She protects the home and protects women and children. So I'm like, okay, I'll put her on there. And statues of her were easy to come by. So I put these deities on my altar without knowing too much about them and without knowing too much about all the other gods and goddesses of the Egyptian faith. And I practiced like this for a while, but I never tried talking to them. I never tried connecting with them. I never felt their presence. I never did offerings. I never really honored them. I just kind of had them there. And then I started researching more. And when I came back a couple years ago, I started listening to podcasts. And a podcast that I had found kind of told me they had some guest speaker on who had said that you should be more culturally appropriate with your deities. You shouldn't just pick one because you think they're cool or pick certain ones because you want something. You don't just pick to speak to a god or goddess because you need something of them, because that can be disrespectful, and it could be disrespectful to the other people who actually follow that faith. So I started thinking about it more and realized I never really thought of it this way. I just kind of picked them because as a kid I thought they were cool. So I wanted to get more into my ancestry and find out who my ancestors followed. And a couple years back I had taken a sort of ancestry test through one of the hospitals around me that offered it. And it was through National Geographic Genome 2.0. And they were offering it for free because they wanted to see what type, basically the ethnicity of everybody who lived in an area to determine what they were high risk of certain diseases. Now, I never got too much into my results, so I decided to pull them back up. And it told me that I am 74% Northwestern Europe and 11% Southwestern Europe. And I wanted to look into which pagan beliefs my ancestors followed based on where they came from. And this led me more towards the Germanic Norse faith. So I started researching more on that. And I started learning about all the different gods. And for me, I found this a lot more interesting than when I was trying to study Egyptian. I have a hard time retaining information when I'm not interested in it. So when I would do my research on the Egyptian deities, I had a hard time getting past Anubis and Bastet. A lot of it had to do with it being hard for me to read some of the names, so it was harder for me to remember, and then I would lose interest. But when it came to the Norse gods and their stories, I just kept wanting to learn more. I felt more connected. The first time I spoke out loud to the gods, I felt overwhelmed with emotions. I don't know really how to put it in words, but it was the first time I have felt that way. The next time I opened a circle to practice my craft, I removed my god and goddess statues that I had on my altar that were for the Egyptian gods and goddess. This time, I just left a candle to represent each one. One candle to represent the god, one to represent the goddess. And I spoke out loud to the old gods. I didn't direct it to certain ones in particular. I just spoke out to all of them, whoever was listening. And this is the time I felt the most energy. I also experienced a greater response. I felt a big difference going from deities I thought were cool from movies to ones I connected with and my ancestors connected with. I made the mistake of jumping in years ago without learning first. I started this journey a little over 13 years ago. And I've learned you don't have to pick right away, or even at all. You don't have to have a patron god. You do what works for you. who you feel connected with. Try not to be influenced by movies or TV shows. There was a period of time where Greek mythology was very popular from a lot of different films, like the Percy Jackson films, The Clash and the Wrath of the Titans, the multiple different versions of Hercules and Troy. Egyptian gods were popular with the different mummy movies and the Scorpion King. And these came out when I was younger, so I was very easily influenced. And then with the Norse, we've seen it in Thor and the Avengers movies like Thor Ragnarok or the TV show Vikings. A lot of these are not completely accurate, so take your time to learn about your gods. Don't let TV shows and movies influence you. Take the time to learn about them and pay respect to them. Thank you all for listening. You can find me on Instagram at Solitary Heathen Witch. Feel free to message me on there and keep an eye out for my questions and polls that I will be posting for future podcasts. And don't forget, on Mondays, I will be doing shoutouts on my Instagram story for small businesses. If you have an Etsy or anything, share it with me. That way I will share it as well. I want to try to help support small businesses. So send me a message on Instagram. Again, I'm going to put my information in the description so you guys will be able to find it there. And if you stay tuned at the end of the podcast, I'm going to do some of the shout outs to some of the small businesses that have shared information with me so far. All right, now it's time for our small business shout out. So these are shops that you guys shared with me. I'm going to start with at Viking Within. And they do Norse pagan wood burning pieces as well as some leather. Handmade Norse art. So you can find them on Etsy, searching Viking Within, or also on Instagram at Viking_Within. Another shop we have is at Creations at Heart, one word on Instagram, also on Etsy as Creations at Heart. And they do wire wrapped necklaces. So, assortment of stones or crystals wrapped in a copper wire. I might say this wrong, I'm sorry, but we have at Norse Pagan Niceties. This shop is inspired by the Norse pagan lifestyle and religion and provides ethically sourced items. So, right now, you can find them on Instagram. I'm also going to share that in the description. Another shout out was for Red Clay Construction, and you can find them on Instagram as well at Red Clay Construction, one word. Another one we have is Wildling Woods. You can find them on Etsy. I believe it's just Wildling Woods on Etsy. And you can also follow them on Instagram. You have Jake the Wildling and Lindsay the Wildling. And I'm going to share this also in the description. And they do some pretty cool woodwork as well. Definitely check them out. And keep an eye out on my Instagram for questions and polls that I'm going to be posting for episode 5 of the Solitary Heathen Witch podcast. And don't forget, Mondays are the small business shout out. So if you want to send me the small businesses again, I will be sharing that on Mondays. I hope you guys have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed episode 4. Thanks.